flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Viewing is past 2 p.m. I wanted to publicly thank Mike Bush and everyone at Channel 5 for putting together the Making a Difference segment that they did last night on on News Channel 5. I'm going to start crying. I'm such a baby. Why are you such a baby? I don't know. it's just true. I'm just always on the edge of crying. But I was really bawling last night during the segment because the pictures of my mom.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. It was a powerful segment. They did a great job.
It really was.
Yeah,
I think it's going to bring a lot of volunteers in. So thank you, Mike. Thank you, Tom. Thanks to everyone over there. It's so nice to see people use their power for good and use their airtime for something other than just stupid things that the city does or fires in North County, something that could make a difference. And I thought that was really, really cool and kind of them to do. Rach is in Japan where it is 4:07 in the morning, right?
Oh boy.
Wow, okay.
So she's up having
14 hours.
Ramen or something. We have Trisha Everding, who has been with us forever, who comes in and sits in with us. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. The other Trish is going to be here tomorrow and Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she says, you know, 50-50. We'll see.
Yeah.
The unreliable Trish, as we call her. And you, of course, are the reliable
Trish. I'm the stand-in Trish until we get the other one back.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
How's life with the baby?
It's great. He is 6 months old now.
Wow, he's doing stuff.
Yeah, he is doing stuff. He's waking up in the middle of the night just yammering, blah, blah, blah.
For like 2 months, you're thinking, I think I got chiseled here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this little roast beef just poops and cries.
Yeah.
Like, he's giving me a whole bunch of nothing.
That's what I thought. And I thought, is there something wrong with me or this baby?
He doesn't like me.
Bonding. He doesn't like me. That's what I thought. Eddie was like, I think we've got the crabbiest baby ever. No, there was something around that 4 month mark. That little personality came out and he just can't stop, won't stop.
There's nothing better or worse than the middle of the night when they're silly.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny and cute, but you're like, damn it, I'm tired.
I looked at that little monitor and his little face was looking at it the other night. I looked over and those eyes were just staring at me in the monitor going, bab, 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 bab.
So no. Cute.
Yeah.
3:15.
So we took shifts and my shift when Phoebe was a baby was 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. And then I got to go to bed. And at like 12:45, when she would start waking up, because if she starts waking up, I have to keep going. I would be on my knees praying to everyone's God. Like, please, Jewish God. Like, whatever it takes to keep this thing from waking up.
You're like praying to Zeus.
Oh, 100%.
Zeus, if you get me out of this.
Dear Poseidon.
Yeah.
Dude, we haven't been on the greatest terms lately, but.
We did kind of the same rotation.
Yeah, we haven't talked in a while.
Because I'm a night person, I would do as much as I could all night long.
Yeah.
And then there's always that. I never really worried about the crossover in shifts, but there's always that moment where you hear a noise and you're like, "Oh, it's too early for that. You need another 2 hours. Do not wake up now because it's gonna ruin. You know, it's gonna mess everything up." And you're just sitting there going, "Shh, nobody make a noise."
Yeah.
And then it goes the way it's going to go no matter what
That's
you
usually
do.
When one of us has to get up to use the bathroom. And I'm like, please go downstairs. Yeah. Be quiet. We've gotten in a bad habit where we're pulling him in bed with us because he wakes up about 4. And I know you're not supposed to, so don't tell anybody. But
it's okay. It'll stop at 10.
Yeah.
That's
good luck with that.
Is that when we quit that? Anything you can do to get those extra couple of hours, mm-hmm. because 4 is very different than 5:30 or 6.
Make a lot of deals with the devil.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's like having wolves in your house. You're just like,
yeah, nobody move.
So, Andrew, you and your dad invented a new food?
Yeah. All right. So, we take a hot dog, right?
Oh, boy.
And you put the hamburger in it?
Kind of, yeah. So, cut it down the middle, kind of split it open a bit, right? And then you take like sausage crumbles, like kind of chorizo, like not chorizo, but just sort of sausage crumbles. It would be good with chorizo, though, I'm sure. And sprinkle those along the inside, right? Then you top it off with some bacon that you've cooked. Not bacon bits. You got to make the full bacon, then dice it up.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
bacon over the top. Technically, just one. It's all pig. Bacon over the top of it, right? And then cheddar over the top of that, which you then bake. And the cheddar melts over the meat. That's how you hold it all together. Otherwise,
gotcha.
It's just going to be flying
all over. Sure. That's crazy talk, right?
Yeah. I don't think that's a new food, but it sounds awesome.
It sounds so good.
Well, there got to be hot dog places that make something like that. But that sounds amazing.
Don't take this from Andrew.
I know.
It's a father and son thing.
No, it's great. One. It doesn't mean it's not great.
I've never seen it.
Just saying.
And then knife and fork?
No, you on a bun.
Okay.
And you just eat it. And the bun is toasted, if that makes a difference.
Do you put anything on it?
You could.
Need to?
Sausage, cheese.
Yeah, sausage, cheese, bacon.
I mean,
you know, a little like, shot of mustard or something.
Yeah. You can.
It.
I think everybody else was putting
so
some
in that
such
scenario,
on it.
Though, which is the add on and which is the base? So is the hot dog the add on or is it the base?
No, the hot dog's the base.
Okay.
And the sausage, and because you're filling the hot dog with sausage. I mean, come on. And then bacon. Right, you got to fill the hot dog with the sausage.
But all of those things can be, you know, the main character.
Well, yeah, they all can, but they're not.
Just figured which one you
prioritize. Everybody can be the main character.
You're making my hands sweat.
I should have known, by the way. I should have known hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starts with the hot dog.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Does that sound gross or,
no,
or
it
does
great.
It sound delicious? Because
when you're bringing
it
them.
Was delicious.
When you're bringing them in.
Oh,
it sounds good.
We should make these.
Sounds like a lot.
Think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were quite delicious.
I mean, I know you're on keto, so respect, but yeah, that sounds like a lot. Sounds like one of those things that decreases your life by several minutes per, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the kind of, that's the hot dog they're talking about when they say that. I don't think they mean like a regular hot dog. I think they mean a hot dog that you've stuffed full of sausage.
Eat a hot dog again that I don't think about. It takes 7 minutes off your life. And
every hot dog does?
Every hot dog.
I'm sorry, I've never heard that.
Yes, 7 minutes off your life.
To be clear, though, Trisha, this isn't like, that's not in the Bible. Like, that's just something that we read somewhere.
Some person's estimate, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like.
How great would it be if that were in the Bible, though?
Oh, my God.
Very fine print.
Right, and for every hot dog you eat,
people
are like, what's a hot dog?
Somewhere back in Genesis.
You will know in 2,000 years.
A footnote in one of the letters.
Similarly, they say, and who knows how they know this, that every individual cigarette is 20 minutes.
Mm.
So you have a hot dog and chase it with a cigarette, you're about half an hour.
Those are two great things, though.
I know. That sounds like the best afternoon of my life.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
I think maybe we really did. I know this is just sort of like a hacky stand-up thing these days, but like in the 70s, when people died clutching their heart at 74 years old, they had a lot of lard before then. A lot of lard and cigarettes. They had a good time.
They had a great
also,
life.
They had a good life, yeah.
Also didn't have statins and open heart surgeries readily available every day, too, because a lot of those things might have been.
They say there's never been a bigger gap, though, between how long we're living and how well we're living.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right, because the older you get, the less well it's going to go.
Yes.
And I hope to find out.
Do you?
Yeah, to a degree. I don't know if I like the whole idea of 90. But then again, maybe at 90, I will think I like the idea of 90.
I mean, you have 90-year-olds like Euchre.
Yeah.
And 90-year-olds like William Shatner, who's still doing television shows and things like that. My mom was hell on wheels until 96, so.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just kept getting smaller. She really did. She was like a a star folding in on itself or something.
You do. You start. It's like a peak, and then you hit a point, and then you start going right back down, shrinking.
Yeah. I remember when my mom used to say she was 5'2", which, I don't know, I didn't check her. And then a couple years ago, we used a yardstick to measure her, and she was 4'6". It's a lot of loss.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
How tall was she when you were a kid? Was she like...
6'3".
I was going to say, was she like 7 feet tall?
It's creepy.
She played in the NBA.
She was an Olympic volleyball player.
Yeah, 4'6" and like 79 pounds.
Wow.
Right. Oof. Still so mean.
A lot of spunk.
A lot of spunk. Nothing but a bucket of moxie.
So much power.
So much power. She really did. When she fell and had a terrible spiral fracture and then had surgery on it. And that next day, I said the words to her while she was in a hospital bed, "Stop being so mean to me."
You're hurting my feelings.
She was just roasting me.
Oh, man.
Just like from the bed. Like, she just take the oxygen thing out, just roast me. I'm like, damn.
Yep. That's what going through the Great Depression and World War II does to a person, right?
I guess.
Hardens them.
I guess. So what's the Walgreens theft thing?
So the first, they're having a couple problems over there at Walgreens. The first one is that they have begun to realize, finally, that putting things under lock and key is not actually good for sales. And that if it stops one person from stealing toothpaste or whatever, it probably stops 15 people from buying toothpaste.
True. Every
because
time.
I don't want to have to go find the one person who's working. To be like, oh, can you unlock the toothpaste for me? This is going to take another 20 minutes.
And they're always so happy to do it for you.
Yeah, and they're always thrilled. They're always
not busy.
Yeah. It's not like they're in the middle of something. Again, being like the only employee in the entire store.
Parenthetically, do you guys have the guts to ask a pharmacist a question about like jock itch medicine or something?
No.
Yeah. If I needed to. Mm-hmm. Absolutely
same.
Not.
No, of course
I
mean, you would.
I wouldn't. Do you have any questions? No, I'm good. Yeah. I got all my information.
Do you have a preference between NyQuil and DayQuil? And they're just like, I'm a pharmacist. I went to school for 18 years. So.
And so the other thing they have, do you remember when they were saying that they were going to create these fridge doors that were locked, but you could see what the item was and then like an employee would come? Well, obviously, like any kind of technology, especially a new technology, they didn't work. So they were constantly like bricking and they were constantly like, glitching out. And so I think some of them caught on fire even in some of the stores where they were. A lot of them were like up north in Chicago, I believe. And so Walgreens had a 10-year contract with this door-making technology company. And so they tried to back out of it early. And the door company said, "Nah, you're not going to do that." And they just shut down all the doors. So
Locked all their product in?
Yeah. So like now all the doors are just stuck.
So Walgreens are just stuck with doors?
Yeah, they're just stuck with these doors.
Which they had
that
before?
These like black screen doors that they can't
But are there
see
like sodas and things
open.
Behind them? I guess there's a back way into them.
Yeah, there's like a gotcha. Back way that the... Cause that
like,
was
what
part,
about the sodas?
Well, that was part of it. Remember, the employee was supposed to be back there and you would say, "I want this bottle of Snapple." And then the employee would get you the bottle of Snapple.
Yeah.
So that you couldn't steal it or whatever.
I know there's a back way in because there's a TikToker who waits and shoots you with a water gun. And
I
goes,
love that
pew,
guy.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, he catches people unawares with his squirt gun.
And they all react like they're Kennedy in Daily Plaza.
I know. Some of them feel set up. Like, is it the same guy or is it a different account that does the fake snake on the counter when
it
people are walking
It tickles me how
by?
Much it makes him laugh.
I love it.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Our buddy Trisha is here. Our other buddy, Trish Gazelle, is going to be here tomorrow. And get ready, because remember that thing that she gave me a couple weeks ago about there are food items that are Pringles, which means you don't eat them every day.
Yes.
They're special, like White Castle and Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that I used that on the air, and of course I used it wrong, so she had to correct me.
Okay.
And when you're corrected by Trish Gazelle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She does that thing where she finishes the sentence you're about to say because you're thinking it, but she knows you're thinking it, so she finishes it for you. Yeah.
Yep.
So we're going to get a whole bunch of that.
Good.
Yeah, just so.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Just so you prepare. And Trisha has a ghost story.
I do.
What? Oh, my gosh. We
ghost
love
story.
Ghost stories.
I actually am really happy to have you guys and your attention on this one because I don't know. Hear me out. So the baby wakes up at 3:30 one morning. I pick him up. I can't console him. He's yammering on like he does. Actually, he wasn't. He was quiet this night, which made this even weirder. So he's quiet, but he's awake, just staring at me. So I'm like, fine, you win. You get a bottle. So I walk out to the kitchen, and I'm going to start the bottle, 3:30 in the morning, and I hear, hi, just like that. Hi, adult voice. And I go, oh, my gosh, hi, sorry, thinking it's my husband. It was not. There is nobody else awake. My husband and my dog are sound asleep. They're the only other two people in the house. Baby's not speaking, just looking up at me. That was it. That was
wow.
The whole story.
It's pretty good.
I know. So I take him to the room. I think, how do we cleanse the house? Do we need to move? We've only been there a few months. What do we do? Kind of a two-parter. Can I go on my one
bet.
Other my one other thing? So I sit on this. This was a month or so ago. And yesterday, I hear a couple of really loud banging noises, banging on the roof. So I was very confused. I walked outside, walked around. Did something fall in the house? Nothing. Just me, the baby, and the dog at home. So then I start going down a rabbit hole of who lived in this house before. I find out that the family that owned it before, really nice people. She's an avid seamstress. I walk around to our hallway that I've traveled no less than 40 times that day, and there is a sewing needle just sitting right in the middle of the hallway. Had not been there all day, just right there.
I'm liking the dog for this. He keeps getting mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't
is
come
he smart?
Out of the, he wouldn't come out of the room when the night I heard the hi, just like that.
What was the hi like? How would you describe the person who said it?
That's a great question. My guess is male, because I thought it was Eddie, and it sounded like they were standing directly over my left shoulder.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to go.
Got the tingles. Right. Well, you got to move out.
What is that? Go. Do I cleanse it? Do I have to call somebody? And I've also started to read the Bible a little bit more, and I'm afraid that I've
that'll cause it.
Opened a door of some sort. Or you don't think so?
Not that.
Oh,
pretty confident about that.
Okay, good.
Because so many people read Bibles, it'd be weird if that opened doors. Be a lot of open doors.
What if there's something that doesn't want the Bible to be read?
Okay. Nah, I'm not saying there's nothing there, but I don't think it's that.
I'm saying the seamstress lady is a demon from hell.
You guys, I truly don't know what to do about it. I was so scared. I was so scared.
Is it scary in general? Is it a scary place? Like the first time you walked in?
Mm-mm.
No?
No, it's cool.
I like the idea that Trisha would have bought a scary house.
It was terrifying.
This place
no,
is awful.
No, it's a cool, built in the 50s, mid-century modern, had one nice family in it, their entire lives.
Anyone died there?
No, and that's why I started on my rabbit hole yesterday about who they were, and then the sewing needle thing happened, which not as weird as the high, but still... coincidence.
Wait, do you have sewing needles?
No.
How long has the sewing
that makes it weird.
Needle lady been gone?
She died in 2023. She's been out of the house for 5 years.
So not. I know we're doing our next Halloween show.
Let's go.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm like Jim Cantore. It's never good when he shows up in your town when it's wintertime.
Yeah.
It's not good when Dave Glover shows up at your house.
Yeah. You guys, like, go. We can get you a hotel and we'll go do a show from there.
Or we could get a hotel.
Or you just come on over.
Well, I mean, it'd be kind of weird if you like walked out in the middle of the night and you're like, oh, yeah, Dave and Kevin are here.
They got on big.
We'll bring our satellite truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, big headsets.
Get the headsets.
Oh, my God, it's the DGS.
My foil hat.
Oh, I forgot they're here. It's terrifying.
And I'll be like, hi. And you'll go, ah!
I'm not going to tell the dog. He's sneaky.
Yeah, I don't think you need to tell the dog anything. I'm still thinking dog. That's what I'm thinking.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. I'm excited because Wednesday I'm taking Wheels and the big dog out to a steakhouse.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yum.
You guys are going to get, you're going to get any salad you want.
Oh.
With any dressing.
Wow.
Get a chopped steak. Remember chopped steaks at Ponderosa? There's
dude,
a big hamburger.
Those are so good.
I love those.
Yeah, they were good.
I'll have the chopped steak, please.
Well, DG, I'm going to need some ground rules here, because Wheels and I both respect your generosity and the fact that, you know, we made a bet and you're honoring it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to take advantage of your kindness.
Don't so you worry about
we're
it.
We're going to a place where, you know, it's not, it's like you said, it's kind of like not the old Ponderosa or whatever. I mean, can I go for a jumbo crab meat cocktail, for example?
Listen, let me tell you something. I don't tell everyone this. I have hundreds of dollars.
All right.
Hundreds of dollars.
I knew you were rich.
You get whatever you want there, Mick.
All right. I love that. I love you. And by the way, great, great piece last night that Mike Bush did on you and, you know, the thing that you volunteered for. And what a valuable service that provides to people who just want someone to be with them, like when they're going through tough times and perhaps nearing the end. I mean, it's wonderful. I really love that. I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing there.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I thought Mike and Tom, his cameraman, did an excellent job. They spent 2 hours at Bethesda with me and the other people who were interviewed. Tom spent an hour just filming here. So isn't it nice to see your colleagues do fine work like that? And I think we're probably going to get 10 or 15 volunteers out of it. So that's going to be wonderful. Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Before we go on to football, I always want to ask, have there been any Cardinals updates during the warm-up? Is there anything going on at all, Bernie?
I think Bill DeWitt reaffirmed something John Mozeliak suggested over the weekend, that even if the Cardinals do not trade Nolan Arenado, the Cardinals will not have to subtract payroll elsewhere. Like, in other words, Bill DeWitt Jr. was asked point blank about that by today, and he said, "If we keep Arenado, no, we don't see a pay. We're not going to cut the payroll. They've cut it enough already.
Yeah,
but we were led to believe that if we had a strong impression earlier in the offseason, if Arenado stays, the Cardinals would have to sort of compensate for him staying and his salary on the mm-hmm. books by removing other salaries. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessary. That Bill DeWitt said that's not the case." So that was newsy, I thought.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, you know, there's not much to move. One of the other things that came over the weekend related to this and what Bernie's getting to about the payroll is John Mozeliak making it clear that he does not want to trade a starting pitcher, that he likes their rotation, he likes the depth behind it. You know, obviously we know that rotations don't stay whole, right? You have five guys now. You'll probably use 8, 9, 10 starters over the course of a season. So there will be opportunities mixed in there for young guys, but it still led us today on the Gashouse Gang to kind of debate, you know, the three of us kicking around, sometimes in a little bit of an argumentative way, sorry guys, about really how much different this team is going to be. If you move Arenado, it gets quite a bit different, you know, with Goldschmidt out and all of that. But you pointed out, Bernie, that even right now, you're still looking at mostly the same guys on offense, and we're looking at mostly the same guys in the rotation.
Yeah, and I'll make it quick on the offense. So last year I took a look at there was 12 players who had the most at bats on the team last year, right? So if Arenado stays here, the Cardinals will have 11 of those 12 players back, still in place. 11 out of 12. If they trade Arenado, it'll be 10 out of 12. Now, granted, some of the guys on that list will play more, and right, I think right. The Cardinals will stick with Walker and Gorman when they get into slumps rather than, you know, panicking. But the point is, the nucleus that the Cardinals are going to go with in 2025 offensively is virtually the same as last year.
And
than Goldie not being there.
Right, and the two that would be subtracted if Arenado goes are Arenado and Goldschmidt. And it's you know, I think Tom made a really good point today, too, that we got into, you know, just adding this, because the reset that the Cardinals are talking about is more than just resetting the major league roster. It's also redoing all of the things they're redoing in the minor leagues. It's getting things set up for Chaim Bloom to take over for John Mozeliak, right? It's a lot of different things, and it led me to get to a point where I get frustrated with their messaging. Like they say things that a fan hears, and the fan hears we're gonna be clearing room for our young guys, and they think of that as, well, I mean, all right, so where are they gonna play? And sometimes I don't think they mean like right now, but they don't say it that way, and it gets confusing.
Listen, we don't have time to go into this, but I'm going to be doing something about this soon, either writing or a video, where I went back and checked some of the really good Cardinals teams from 2000 through 2015 when they won more postseason games than any team in baseball, and they were number one in the National League in regular season wins, or you know they were one or two basically, and I was surprised, and I covered all those teams, but I was surprised about how many young players, homegrown players, played major roles in sustaining that success. And I said today on the Gas House Gang, after alluding to the fact that, you know, I mentioned a couple of those teams and just all kinds of rookie players who helped. And I said, one of the problems with the Cardinals reset right now is that especially the position players, unless they're going to rush J.J. Weatherholt, who's very, very good, if they're going to rush him to the majors really, really soon, the Cardinals really don't have anyone at AAA where you look at and you say, wow, that's an impact guy for my offense. Or you look at, you say, wow, there's three or four great relievers down there. We could have a great bullpen in 2025. You know, in the past, they would have those guys. An Alan Craig would come up. A Matt Carpenter would come up. A Michael Wacha, Shelby Miller, Trevor Rosenthal, Carlos Martinez, Kevin Segrist. I mean, on and on and on. They had young players and pitchers everywhere. Well, right now, other than Quinn Matthews, maybe Tink Hentz, I mean, there's a couple other, you know, Michael McGreevy. The Cardinals, in terms of major league readiness for like a big spot, a big amount of playing time, there's not a lot of guys ready that you can plug in. And this is exactly why they are doing what they're doing with the minor leagues and the player development system, to get it back to where it was when it was really bountiful and really made a difference.
Yeah, I was wondering, is there a logjam at A ball and double A ball because we're not bringing enough guys fast enough from AAA? Does it just, you know, go downhill?
They kind of filter people out.
Yeah.
Right? Like the longer someone's been at AAA, the more likely it is that they aren't brought back. They get to be minor league free agents.
And would
like
you
that.
Expect guys like J.C. Victor Scott II to be on the club all year? On the
no,
big club?
If Arenado stays, Sejacy might open the season at AAA Memphis, but he'll have a role on the club at some point. It may be right away if they trade Arenado. I think they look at Victor Scott as a guy who just needs a lot more reps at AAA. I could be mistaken about that, but that's the impression they give. And look, Victor Scott's got real upside. I just don't know what their timetable is in their own minds about when they're going to plug him in center field, if they're going to plug him in center field. But he's certainly a candidate.
So let's talk some football, if we may.
All right.
Other than the Lions, I was pulling for because of my buddy Wheels. But other than that, good entertaining games, I thought.
Yeah, I love the weekend. Jaden Daniels is just a phenomenal player. He's just ridiculous how mature and poised he is. Nothing bothers him. This is a very dangerous Washington team. And listen, man, I'll just tell you this from real quick. From my background, I grew up in the Baltimore, D.C. area, more of a Baltimorean than a D.C. guy. But as a young sports writer, I actually covered the old Washington Redskins, Joe Gibbs teams. You know, I covered two of their Super Bowl championship. But more than that, I was familiar with the District of Columbia and the surrounding suburbs, pardon me, where that was as good a fan base as you have in sports. They're just rabid, passionate, colorful, fun. The old RFK Stadium would just literally shake every home game. But anyway, one of the worst human beings alive bought that team and ran it into the ground, and now they have a good owner again, yep. And now they're back again. And my brother, who lives near D.C., was telling me, he said, this place is just going totally crazy because the old days are back again. And I love the whole Washington football story. I really do. So that was really impressive what they did. I thought the Chiefs were the Chiefs. They kind of bleed you out slowly and they win.
So true.
You know, right?
Yep.
So true.
I think Lamar Jackson's got a problem because Lamar Jackson is a great, great, great player, but quarterbacks are defined by the postseason. He's now 3-5. Jaden Daniels already has two postseason wins in his career. Lamar Jackson has three. Lamar Jackson's got fewer postseason career wins in the playoffs than Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy and any number of other guys I can mention. I mean, that's going to dog him until he can turn that around. And I thought the Rams put up a hell of a fight, but the Eagles just have too good of a defense. So I don't know who's going to win that Eagles-Commanders game. I think Buffalo's got a hell of a chance to beat the Chiefs. I really do.
I don't have anything to say since the Lions lost. No, I'm kidding. I mean, look, they just simply crapped the bed.
That's all it would take to shut him up? Just have the Lions lose?
No kidding.
No, they crapped the bed as much as I give credit to Washington. And I'm going to root for Washington the rest of the way because I love Jaden Daniels. And they're a fun, interesting, different team. And I like different. I like seeing someone. Mm-hmm. Like Bernie mentioned the history, but I also think it's important to have some new blood in it now. And Bills and Chiefs is basically the same thing every year at this point. It's those two and the Ravens, and two of them are going to be in the AFC Championship game. The Eagles have been around this a little bit here in the last few years, too. So I'll root for the new blood there. But, I mean, you too many self-inflicted wounds for a team that was already short defensively. You can't throw four interceptions. You can't throw the interceptions that Jared Goff did, which are crazy. You can't have your wide receiver throw a pass on a double reverse when you're down two scores in the fourth quarter. And, that, of course, that turned into an interception. And they didn't adapt on defense. You're shorthanded, and they burned you every time you blitz, but you never stop blitzing. So when you add two things together, Washington's really good. They're very much up and coming, and Jaden Daniels is a stud. With that many mistakes, you're going
to
lose.
What is the name Commanders a reference to?
Like Commander-in-Chief?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I like the name.
I think the number one takeaway, you know, Kevin alluded to it, I alluded to it in terms of like Lamar Jackson turning it over twice. The four teams that won Saturday and Sunday, they didn't turn the ball over one time. The teams that turned it over, I was looking for my note. I think it was at least 10 times. It might have been 12. I mean, you know, you're just not going to win at this time of year if you're on the wrong side of the turnover differential.
That was the
biggest takeaway by far from the divisional round.
Can I be a big picture smartass for a second?
Sure.
Because the first round of the NFL playoffs, the wild card round, was stupid and bad. The games were bad. Just like the first round of the college football playoff that nobody could stop whining about. Oh, the committee did a terrible job and these were bad matchups. I'm like, well, you had the same dynamic in the NFL playoffs because early in the playoffs, there's a difference in the quality of the teams. The top, top teams are the top, top teams. Now you get deeper into the playoffs and what do you see?
Parity.
You see a lot better games, a lot more competition, and we've seen the same thing in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
So the reason I wanted to bring that up is to get to the college football people that whine and get them. This is what a playoff looks like. You should be watching sports other than your own, because we that watch the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, the NFL playoffs, and the baseball playoffs know that this is the dynamic. But all the college football talking heads have never had a real playoff before, and they act like they've never seen it play out.
Noted.
This is easy, man. Early rounds are never as good as the later rounds. It's not the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Bernie, you want to tell us about Saliga?
I do. By the way, who we got to do this real quick. Who you got tonight, DG? You got the Ohio State or Notre Dame?
Buckeyes.
Yeah, my heart's with Notre Dame because I used to love Kelly Tripucka.
He's one of my guys.
In
my
the 70s. I think Ohio State's going to win, but I'm rooting for Notre Dame.
That sounds about right. I was an Adrian Dantley doc.
Sorry.
Who do you got, Byrne?
I'm going to go Ohio State. As a fan, I'm going to be rooting for Notre Dame, and I'm not copping out. That's the way I feel. I have money invested in Ohio State, but if Notre Dame wins, I'll be happy.
I hope the game gets rained out because I hate both these schools.
Jeez.
I don't hate them with Freeman as the coach, so I can't do it. If Ryan Day tries to coach against Lou Holtz tonight, that to me, that's the interesting backstory. Like, he's so obsessed with proving Lou Holtz wrong about saying they're not a medical team. The worst thing they can do tonight is line up and try to run. They've been at their best when they open it up, so we'll see if Ryan Day's going to coach against Lou Holtz tonight. Anyway, I had to get that in. See, man, I had good material, DJ.
No, that's good. That's good. Sometimes our show prep is better than others, like the complete sheet that we get, like pre-canned stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you should order at McDonald's, according to a nutritionist.
Okay.
All right. I'll play your game.
It's nothing, isn't it? It's zero.
Apple slices.
Oh, I knew you were going to say apple slices.
Just that?
Yes. Thanks.
A nutritionist said that?
Yes.
Thanks. Better to have apple slices.
Give me a game plan.
Yeah.
Give me something I can work with.
Better to have apple slices than a quarter pounder. Thank you.
But not even like just a grilled chicken?
Yeah, right. Apple slices. Hey, it's National DJ Day. Do any of us qualify?
No.
I don't think so.
Don't you have to play music?
to count? We play the best music.
No, but it'd be like, you know what I mean? Like, play full songs.
I was a DJ in college.
Were you?
Like, not like a...
Like DJ Jazzy Jeff kind of DJ?
Not like a cool DJ.
All right.
Like a dork DJ?
Like a dork DJ. I just played the songs. I didn't, like, pick them or anything.
Did you do the intros and stuff, too?
I didn't spin them. Well, yeah, but, like...
Like, hey, everybody, this is... I don't know. What would you have played?
DJ Jazzy Jeff, usually.
And the Fresh Prince?
Yeah.
No, he's thinking about... Steve, our boss, and I were talking about, like, old cars, and, you know, he's got a Jeep, I have a Jeep, and thinking about getting an old car, would that be fun to restore kind of stuff. What cars today is anyone going to restore? Someone going to restore a Tesla? Someone restoring a Camry?
Yeah.
Right?
Boy. Well... If let's put it this way, if it's being done, it's only going to be done to like the super popular, unique cars, because that's the only people aren't restoring like your average.
I'm working on a Chevette right now.
Ford from back in the day.
The cars just don't look cool.
Like you're not restoring a Gremlin.
Yeah. Man, I wanted a Pinto.
A Pinto?
No, a Pacer.
Yeah.
I
loved
the Pacer.
Well, the Pacer was the one of those that did not explode.
Yes. And only like four Pintos ever blew up.
I know.
Right?
But still, it's like, only four of our planes crashed. Well, you know, kind of a problem.
I had so many of those bad cars. I had a Chevette.
Yeah.
Which I could literally pick up. Like, you could pick up the back end.
Yeah.
I had a Citation. I had a Granada.
Ooh, man.
What? Yeah.
We had an interesting
what
combo.
What is up with these names?
Yeah, they had Citation? We had... we always had an interesting dynamic of cars like in our house when mm-hmm. I was a kid. So we had the giant ass station wagon that families
it
were supposed to have.
Magic when my dad came
it's
home
like
with one of those.
22 feet long, yeah. Ridiculous thing, which was great for vacations because you had room to spread out. And then we would have like a Dodge Colt, which I think could fit in your pocket. It was like tiniest little guy.
I honestly thought my dad had won the lottery because he brought home a blue on blue.
Oh.
With a automatic back window that would go up and down. I mean, it was just, and we went, like the first night we went to the drive-in theater and backed it up and opened it up and rolled that thing down. Oh, man. Yeah. Tall cotton.
Why would the back window need to go down?
Because if you're sitting back there, you can have the window down.
Yeah, if you're sitting back there, get a little air.
You're not getting the air conditioning back there back then.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Back in the day, they didn't have AC in the back.
Shut up.
In the way back, you were on your own.
Stop hurting me with your words.